Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Two things I want to show you, and I'm going to lead you in a meditation. And when I do, please, if we can do no photography during that, because I want everybody to be undistracted. And Wellington, if you'll just watch the door, and for the thousands of people that are coming in late, if you'll just tell them to wait in the lobby for a few moments, because I don't want, you know, you're trying to meditate and somebody's stepping over you. So, you know, it was interesting last week when we were, the meditations the last 2 weeks have gone way better than I had even hoped. And I remember there was a time, interesting that you said Pentecostal, because I remember there was a time in Pentecostal and charismatic churches, anytime everything got really quiet, you nearly waited for the interruption of an utterance. It's like it didn't seem like it was church until somebody gave a message in tongues or a prophecy. And sometimes when that would happen, it kind of broke what was happening. You know, I wanted to say, I know you feel an ecstatic response, and I'm comfortable with the gifts. You know, when I worked with my dad, I was always the official interpreter because dad never really that wasn't his thing. So, and those people gave lots of messages and tongues. So anytime somebody, he just hand me the microphone, like, and you know, I had the charisma. I mean, I could do it, but I always felt like, I feel like God's saying something on a much deeper subliminal level, and that when, there's a reason why Paul said we know in part, we prophesy in part, and when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We despise not prophesying. I still know where my prayer language is if I need it. Believe me, I know what it's like to have a 18-wheeler pull out in front of you on 285, and before you know it, you're like, shandarabakaya, you know, you can get right into it. So ain't nobody not being Pentecostal up in here. But there is something deeper. There's a, it's really, I think, what Paul was trying to describe in Romans 8 when he said they are groanings that cannot be uttered. So in a moment, we'll use the music that you already have and we'll bring the lights down. But I just want to show you two things. One of them is a scripture, and you're familiar with it. This is Power of Meditation, Part 3. This is Psalm 46:10, and it's just the scripture that says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Here in the Amplified, I want to show you just the little shade of meaning that he gives. He says, "Let be and be still." Let be and be still. You know, the word "let" is very important. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." In other words, you have the stewardship over your emotions to not let yourself become stressed, become agitated. That's up to you. Jesus said, "Satan has come to me, he has nothing in me." The word Satan just means adversary. Whatever adversarial thing has come against you, you decide whether you're going to be the thermostat or the thermometer, whether you're going to determine what happens in your life and what you will or will not react to. But he says, "Let be and be still, and know and recognize and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." What he's saying there is, until you are still, there's a part of God that you can't see. The exhortation to be still, it means you don't have to pray about everything. You don't have to, like I said, I believe, and Doc, I'm sure you agree with this, I believe when Jesus was spending time away from the crowds, I don't picture him with a big prayer list making petitions. I picture him being contemplative. I picture him restoring his battery, just being quiet, being still, and just knowing that he's God. That's why sometimes a trip to the beach is a trip to the beach. Sometimes it's a spiritual pilgrimage. Do you know what I mean? There's sometimes where you just say, "I need to go be in or near the water." Y'all come on in. We haven't started quite yet. I need to be in or near the water, or it might be the mountains, or it might be, you know, just whatever is a place for you where you can be still and really know who God is, and really, really see God. And then I want to show you that this is actually a Zen master who says this. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, but he says, "Don't hate the arising of thoughts, or stop the thoughts that do arise." That's why I told you when you do a meditation, don't worry about trying not to think about something, because when you try not to think about it, you think about it. So I said, if your thoughts kind of move out, just gently moving back. And, you know, sometimes I know with me, I go ahead and let myself think it. Like, all right, you want to, I say to my soul, you want to think that? All right, go ahead, think it. Get it out of your system. And then, all right, are you done now? And then you get back to that place of existence that's beyond thought. Okay? He says, simply realize that our original mind, and I love this. You know, I keep noticing people that I haven't even met that are on Facebook that aren't necessarily where I am at theologically are nearly there. And I notice so many, you know how we've talked about so many times in the last 3 years that the cross wasn't necessarily plan A, and that it wasn't that God needed it, it was that people needed it to identify with, that we were never separated from God. That, you know, otherwise, why would God say to Adam, who told you you were naked? Who told you you should be afraid? This is, and perception is reality. So if you think there's a problem, there's a problem. If you think God's mad at you, then you're creating the anger of God. I remember when I used to live in that constant spiritual warfare, it was something, there was some drama going on all the time. And I realized at a certain point, I'm making this happen. I have creative ability. This isn't demonic activity. This is me, you know, the words that I'm sending out and the thoughts that are warring against one another. I'm creating my own confusion. And so that's another important thing about learning to be still and know who God really is, not necessarily the loud sounding brass and tinkling cymbal God, but the God who you only know with groanings that cannot be uttered. Simply realize that our original mind, right from the start, is beyond thought, so that no matter what, you never get involved with thoughts. Illuminate original mind, and no other understanding is necessary. I remember when Dr. Dispenza was leading meditation, he said, find a place that's even beyond the universe. It's a place that's not even in anything that's created. It really is the place of, for lack of a better term, nothingness, where you can see, you know, you can find original mind. Our thoughts are what has collapsed into a way that we've been taught to think a certain way. And you know, it's become our hard drive. I've even thought recently, and I've gone back and forth on the patriarchs in Genesis, but even those early men and women that lived, you know, centuries. Could it be they actually were living that long? They just hadn't learned how to die yet. It wasn't really a part of their consciousness. So the first few people that began to die off, it didn't occur to them that that was going to happen to everybody. But then as it became more and more the, you know, oh, this is what's supposed to happen to all of us, they begin to get, you know, prone to it. And you know, we're all in our different ways learning our lessons, and some of those lessons are difficult. But what it's getting us back to is what's the original mind? Really, over there in John 17, when Jesus prayed, his whole thing was, get me back to where we were before all this started. Remember, he would say things like, and I don't know who was recording this prayer. That's a interesting question to ask about the Gospel of John. Yeah, did Jesus have a secretary who was writing all this down? I don't know, but according to what we have, he says, restore to me what we had before the worlds began. In other words, there was a place, if I can really take you there was a place where I knew you before I knew you. How else would God say to, was it Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. In other words, you existed before you existed. You existed before you existed in this dimension. And that's why sometimes when you meet somebody on this side, they feel very familiar to you. It's because they are familiar to you. If you ever have what you feel like is deja vu, like, I feel like we had this conversation before. It's because you did. And even though I think best case is that we just finally stopped dying, for those that have gone to the other side, who have crossed the veil, they are still a part of our conversation. They are still communicating with us. And this isn't just some pipe dream to say, you'll see them one day on streets of gold. No, you're seeing them now. The cloud of witnesses is a literal thing. When it's a loved one, you'd prefer they'd stay here in the flesh where you can see them. But they have not ceased to exist. And that's why they speak to you in your dreams and in confirmations. And those of you that have lost loved ones to this side, you know exactly what I mean. Where you're very aware of their ongoing existence. So all of these things are things that we know in our original mind. Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank God for redemption, but there is something even higher than redemption, and that's not even needing redemption at all. That's beyond, you know, I love that I have a Savior, but there is something even higher than having a Savior, and that's having someone that I speak face to face with. That's original. Now, that's some deep stuff right there. He only sees me through the blood. Well, yeah, but he can see you face to face. Because let me tell you, if I can just shut up and let us meditate. The idea that God can only love you unconditionally is a little bit insulting. It's like God can't stomach you, but I guess he's just going to see you through the blood of Jesus, or otherwise, you know, you're unbearable. I would like to think that, I mean, I would have believed that Ken loves me unconditionally, but I'd like to believe there's some conditions. I'd like to believe I'm lovable. You know, not, well, I just stay with you because of unconditional love. Well, you know, that's gross. I want to be somebody that you want to be with. I don't want you to say, well, I don't really want to come here on Saturday, on Sundays, but you're my pastor and I made a commitment. No, I don't want that. I want you to like nearly break the speed limit because you can't wait to see what's he going to do now. You know, like you want to, I'll always remember, I think it was the first Metron we had. You know, Leona is like instant sunshine. It's just like light comes. She's a being of light. And her first words, because they don't live close to here, they live in Snellville. And she said, well, Bishop's got us on a new adventure now. We can't wait to see what it is. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. Not, dear Lord, we got to drive all the way to Atlanta. I don't think I could ever drive out of Rockdale County. No, that's why you're limited in your ability to visualize things, because you can't even drive out of your neighborhood. You got to push the envelope a little bit. And that's what you need is, we're on an adventure. What's going to happen now? That's what, and not just for Metron. You ought to feel that way every day. Shut up. That was self-talk right there. All right. Can we bring the lights down a little bit, please? Everybody, if you would put both your feet on the floor, if you can empty your lap. If you're new among us, there's no wrong way to do this. You're not going to be penalized. Nobody's taking your picture, so you will not be put on the World Wide Web meditating. If you can, sit up straight as you possibly can. Something very powerful about good posture. It gets you, you automatically sort of give yourself an alignment just to do that. If you can empty your lap of everything, you don't have to close your eyes, but it probably will help if you do. I don't specify that you have to breathe any particular way. My personal preference is to inhale through your nose and exhale through your mouth. And we've talked a little bit about why that's advantageous. Find what works for you, because you might have situations with being able to breathe through your nose, so I won't make that a rule, but at least find something that you can be consistent with, because a huge part of meditation is just about your breathing. If you're going to be conscious of anything, it's just about your breathing. So feet on the floor, sit up straight. It'll be a natural, you'll empty your mind on, so you don't have to try to do that. Don't try not to think. Just be right now. Charles, if you'll just start the music, let's breathe in. If you can hold it for a couple of seconds. And then exhale through the mouth. Inhale through your nose, hold it. Exhale through your mouth. Inhale through your nose, hold it. Exhale through your mouth. For many of you who are doing this on a regular basis, you can get there in a matter of seconds. It's not going to take you a long time. You're making contact with original mind, where you were in God even before the foundation. That eternal part of you. Inhale. Hold it. exhale. Inhale, hold it. Exhale. If there is one word that's very strong in your spirit, like gratitude or love or peace, then embrace that word. It's okay to think about that word. Some people say it this way: I inhale love, I exhale gratitude. That's fine if that works for you. Let your breath get in tandem with the breath of God. Breathe the breath of God, the breath of life. Inhale, hold it. Exhale. Still and know that I'm God. Just gradually come out of it. Just take your time when you're ready to open your eyes. You want to do one more quick one? Play that other piece that we have, Charles. We've got time. Since you're here in the zone. We're going to do one more Wellington. Just whatever place you found at the last meditation, you can get right back there. Travel with your mind. Just get right where you need to be. It's all about the breathing. Everything was created with the breath. God spoke. God breathed into Adam. Jesus breathed on the disciples. This is where the life is. This is where the peace is. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Some of you are already masters at this, so go. If you want to go deeper, then go deeper. You don't need a lot of time. You can get right to it. phrase that's in my spirit today is just the phrase I am. That's what I keep hearing as I'm breathing. Breathe that in, breathe that out. I am. I am. I am. I am. Going to whisper some words with a high vibration on them. You can think about them or not think about them. If you get to a place where you're not even hearing me, that's optimal. Peace. Rest. Strength. Life. Energy. Creativity, serenity, wellness, wholeness. I'm going to slow it down. Think about my voice less and less. Peace. Rest. Awareness. Consciousness. Restoration. Just gradually come out of it. Don't snap out of it. Just take a breath. You can start opening your eyes. That was really good. Thanks. You can bring the lights back up. Let me just say something to you about what happens when you do that. And that's why I wanted to show you this quote about original mind. A couple of people inboxed me during the week and said, I don't know why, but during the meditation, I felt emotional. I felt like I wanted to, it made me want to cry or something. And my feeling about that is when you remove your mind, you peek into your subconscious. And I want to tell you, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to look into it. Be aware that when you meditate, things will start coming up out of you. That's a good thing. It's like things that you need to look at and go, okay, this is probably something I need to deal with. Don't be afraid of it. You got to make peace with your subconscious, because your subconscious is what's making, it's driving your life. It's where all your habits are. Everything's coming out of your subconscious. We think here, but we really think much deeper. We communicate much deeper. Deep calls into deep. Wow, well done, masters of meditation. Metron masters of meditation. Magnificent Metron masters of meditation. Let's, Wellington, if you'll set us up for an in the now, I'm going to bring Calvin up and we're going to do one of those, and then he's going to share just a little bit, and he may want to lead us in one before we go. What do you think? Y'all enjoy that? Yeah? I love it. I just love it. And I like experiencing it with you. There's something about being in a room, call it agreement or synergy or whatever, a group of people that you love who are experiencing a similar thing, the power of that is exponential. It's great to meditate on your own, absolutely. We can't all be together 24 hours a day, especially those of you that meditate in bed. We're not all getting in bed together. But there's not a bed big enough. But to have this time, where we enjoy this, it's really, really good. Are we in the shot here, Charles? We good? All right. Judah, why don't you come up and introduce Calvin, since really he is your guest, and tell us how you met, and then he'll come up and we'll start the taping.
Yeah, so I guess we connected online a while back, and sort of, you know how like you have friends that are like cyber friends, but you don't really, we don't know each other in person, but you feel like you know the person. And Calvin and I just really clicked and started having conversations about ideas and ways that we could work together. And so he was like, hey, I'm going to come to Atlanta. I'd love to minister at your church sometime. And I was like, yeah, that's great. I have like no budget, but if you can come, then that would be awesome. And he was like, God told me to be at your church. I'm coming. I had him there. And I've moved away from some of the prophetic stuff. Not moved away from it, but I've just evolved a little bit. Excuse me. But Calvin started prophesying at our church, and it's one of the most accurate prophets that I've ever seen. There's no reason for me to make it up. Even people that that come to our church that aren't even like really, I mean, we have an agnostic guy that was like, he's just changed his life and really got to experience God in a cool way. But not only is he prophetic, he's also very knowledgeable in science, with meditation, works with a lot of different people. I'll let him kind of explain that a little bit more, but he'll prophesy to you and he'll read your tarot card, whatever you need. So, but yeah, so I want you guys to make some noise, man, and welcome my friend, my brother, Calvin Witcher. Come on.
Have a seat. And are you hearing me? All right. Welcome to this episode of In the Now with Jim Swilly. And those of you who are just logging on to see this, we're coming to you live from Metron. And in our Metron service, My son, Pastor Judas Willie, is with us, and he just introduced Calvin Witcher. So you already know who he is, and those of you who are watching on YouTube, you can read about him on your own. But for those of you here today, Metro, would you please welcome our new friend, Calvin Witcher. Calvin, we're glad that you're here. Welcome. Peace. What's on your heart today? You came all the way. Tell us where you came from and why are you here? Why are you here today, Calvin? What is the meaning of this?
I'm bored. I have nothing else to do. That's what it is. You know, honestly, I am just on a, well, thank you for having me here. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you for that warm welcome. I paid him to say that. And I paid him in love. But honestly, I am just on a new path and journey with life and with spirit, and it's interesting. Sometimes I know and sometimes I don't know, which is probably a horrible thing to say for someone that has a prophetic calling on their life, but a lot of times I really don't know. So honestly, and a lot of ministers probably won't admit that, but that's kind of been the journey of late, is to be fully available. You mentioned nothingness earlier. I'm a big fan of Game of Thrones. I know that may not be the most spiritual thing for most of you out there, but there's one character, and I think her name's Arya, and she talks about, you know, a person has no face, no name, right? And I feel like I'm in that space of spirit where I have no name, I have no identity. It's just being there in the space of now and then allowing it to unfold as it is. So that's why I'm here, to witness with everyone what is to come.
Excellent. earlier in the session today, we led a meditation. I think that's something that you're familiar with. Tell me, how did you get connected with that, and what are your thoughts about it?
Well, it's very interesting because I grew up in the well, two parts of Christianity, Baptist side and Pentecostal side. We just called it Bapticostal because we were lazy and just made sense to shorten it up. And so we didn't grow up with meditation. As a matter of fact, we actually grew up with the understanding that meditation was what those other people did. Right. We didn't do that because we were Christian. We prayed. That was more holy. And so in that regard, I did not really learn about meditation until I started transitioning from traditional church and then really understood it for what it was, more from an Eastern mindset, even more of an indigenous mindset. So when I look at meditation, for me, I kind of take it to more the original meaning of it, which actually means to mutter. It means to actually speak to yourself, which sometimes is contrary to a lot of thought with meditation, which is to go silent. I'm a big proponent that everything speaks to us, God, the universe, life, people, energy speaks to us. And so it's meditation is more about tapping into that deeper side of communication, to the knowing that that which is unknown. And so that's how I often teach meditation. I love your quotes. It's very synchronistic with how I talk, which is if a thought comes up, have a conversation with the thought. Why is it there? That's, you know, your body trying to communicate something to you, and for you to ignore it is tantamount to ignoring instruction, direction, intuition. So, yes, because oftentimes we're just too fast, too quick in life. So meditation allows us to actually hear the conversations that we are ignoring.
It's interesting. You said your background was similar to mine. I'm fascinated with people, some of whom are here today, Eddie, Doc, Francis, many of you who sort of came out of Pentecostal background, charismatic, and are sort of in a different place of enlightenment. And to me, it's not an either or. To me, it is the logical conclusion to that trajectory. Whereas 30 years ago, I would have said, no, that's people who are letting themselves be deceived. No, this is where spirit has and is taking us.
Right.
To me, I won't say his name because he might not want me to say his name. But there's somebody that I know, you probably know him too.
Yes.
Who is he's a prophet.
Person. Mm-hmm.
He's a prophet.
Yes.
And he said, we were in Las Vegas. We went to this guy, Jonathan Edwards, who was calling people out, who was talking to people's, the energy of loved ones who had gone on, said he was doing the exact same thing that I do. And he said, I didn't want to admit that. I said, well, no, it really is all the same thing. The knowledge of the Lord fills all the earth.
Absolutely. We just call it by different names, whether you call it a prophet, an oracle, a medium, and I operate in all those trajectories and frequencies. Depends on where I am. I tend to be very much a when in Rome.
Right.
Do as the Romans do. Some places I have a little more liberty to be a little more at home. And some places it's a little more structured, a little more thought. So to the Jew, I become the Jew. To the Greek, I become the Greek. To someone that understands medium, I say I'm a medium. And someone that understands psychic, I say, hey, you know, I can tap into that space too.
that's probably the best. Not that I had any question about you being here, but that's my confirmation.
Okay.
Because I'm exactly the same way. And to me, divide over buzzwords is counterproductive.
Absolutely.
Now, Judah mentioned tarot reading. Now, you say tarot cards. For those of us that were raised with, you know, watch out for the devil, that's like a ding, 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 ding. So I wasn't going to discuss this, but I'm curious.
Nothing is off limits with me.
Then explain to me, why are you comfortable in that medium as well?
You know, it's very interesting. I still classify myself on some levels very much on the Christian spectrum, very much on the spectrum. In the sense of I grew up that way, it's very much part of my core, something I do not deny now, although I went through a phase that I did. I think many people do while you're in the transition stage. All to really come back around and says, man, wow, the scriptures are super great.
Exactly.
And especially if you go more on the divination esoteric side, which I won't do too much today, you start realizing that a lot of different sects use the scriptures pretty predominantly, the Kabbalic texts, et cetera, et cetera. So when it comes down to things like tarots, you almost can't get around these conversations if you are a studier of the scriptures. There's just no way around it. Divination is all in the scriptures.
Exactly.
Claromancy is actually the official term for it, which they used to do casting of the lots as well. So they cast lots to try to figure out who the next disciple was going to be. They cast lots to figure out who was causing this this storm out on the ocean to throw Jonah over. Nowhere is it condemned. And it's always one of those interesting things. The disciples just didn't come out of the woodwork saying, oh, let's just cast lots,
right.
Which is actually a form of oracle, energy, prophecy, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's one of those things like they had to have been doing that, I assume, in the time of Jesus. It's like your kids. When your kids grow up, it's not really a surprise who they're going to be. You see it. You live with them.
Exactly.
You're with them every day. And so it's very interesting. Once I started going back through the scriptures and try to pull out things that didn't make sense at the time with my filter, the scriptures actually had a lot more life and light in them than I was giving them credit for. So it makes it fun. So tarots, absolutely.
I taught a few months ago about the mystical that's in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And even when Saul wanted to have a conversation with Samuel,
mm-hmm.
and he goes to the witch of Endor. Which, if you ever grew up watching Bewitched, Endora is named after the Witch of Endor. And not only does God allow it, Samuel actually does have a conversation with him. And it was like, it wasn't that surprising. You know, it's like, well, there he is, and he's talking, and he prophesied to him. And even things like, if you've really read the Old Testament, there's some stuff in there, like the Urim and the Thummim, you know, the breastplates that would, you know, certain stones would light up and it would give them direction. All these things now that, you know, fundamentalist Christians would condemn, where you get that from? From the Bible. It's in the Bible. And even when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? His disciples said, well, some say you're John the Baptist.
And
they're saying, some people say you're reincarnated.
Absolutely.
And he didn't flinch at that. He said, oh, okay, well, who do you say that I am? He didn't say, devil, I bind that. You know, he said, okay. And it's just interesting how when you, and I like that you said there was a time you didn't identify as Christian, because I understand that too.
Oh, yeah.
When somebody asks me, what do you do? I'm like, how do I explain to you what I do? Because if I say pastor, you're going to think something that's not me. And if I say church, you're going to think something that's not Metron. How do I explain to you what it is that I do? Because I have great respect for the scriptures, and I love Jesus, and I'm a follower of Jesus. If that's what a Christian is, yes, I follow Jesus. Other people that say this is what Christianity is, the way they advertise it, I think, well, if that's what Christianity is, then I'm not that.
Right.
Then please do not identify me as that.
And it's funny because I actually don't, again, I don't necessarily go by the title. If anything, I'm probably more of a heretic for most of my
friends,
which is fine.
Heretic's not even a bad word.
It's not a bad
word.
When
you look at the origin of the word heretic, come on now. Somebody calls me a heretic, I'm going, thank you. It's about time you recognize.
Right. And so it's very funny. And then I'll argue on another level. I'll say, I'm actually probably more Christian than you are.
If Jesus came today, I promise you,
we'd be friends.
He would have more in contact with shamans and
yep.
gurus than he would with the pastor of First. I won't say a denomination, but most of Christianity and churchism has so evolved away from the mystical side of who Jesus was and is.
Absolutely. And so I would say I got to a point that I started realizing that there's more out there. It just made no sense to me to grow up in a tradition saying that we believe something but didn't have life living proof of it. That just didn't make sense. Now, I understand some of our brothers and sisters that go a little more academic, educational, and it's definitely more scholarly. That I understand because they're in congruence with their faith. Everyone else, the way I grew up, it just didn't make sense. We believe for cancer, but Jesus can't heal the cold, or, you know, this happened in the Old Testament, but not the New Testament, and that was this dispensationalism. And I can talk that conversation. It's boring to me, but I can. But it just, if we serve God and spirit and it's living, it's active, then why not now?
Right.
And definitely when you understand scriptures in a relationship with Jesus, Jesus was an extreme heretic. He was a magician. He was, most people have probably never heard that. He
was visited by magi when he was a baby, which
were magicians. And people don't realize
diviners
that.
Who didn't even know what the scriptures were.
Absolutely.
They charted the zodiac to find them.
Astrologers.
It's right.
And that's where it's really funny because I like you realize that the men that found Jesus were astrologers. So when I say I do astrology and tarot reading, it's actually not weird.
Right.
And you teach about it and talk about it, at least on Easter. So it's okay.
They knew those astrologers knew more about Jesus than Herod did, because he didn't even know. They had to go find somebody that knew the scriptures, and they connected the dots that the prophecy was he was going to be in Bethlehem. But the prophecy was already in the stars. It didn't come through an Old Testament prophecy.
Absolutely. They foreknew it.
Woo!
See, it'd get us stirred
up here. Prophecy's in the stars, Jesus.
Hashtag prophecy in the stars. For all my millennials out there.
Hashtag just had a 10th anniversary this week. Did you know it was the 10th anniversary of the hashtag?
We need to hashtag the hashtag. I think we need to do that. Hashtag the hashtag.
So, my observation of you is new. I don't want to say it's limited.
It's okay.
New.
I'm being judged right now. It's good.
But no, what I like about it is you are unapologetic about where you are.
Oh, absolutely.
And what little bit I've watched some of your videos and I've read some of the things that I loved what you posted this morning about the meme about time.
Yes,
because I'm very much into Kairos and Kronos and how that all relates together.
Yes.
And I'm believing, I see this more and more. Time is changing, and it's not just because I'm aging. It's easy for people to say, oh, well, you're getting older, so it just go. It's go. No, this is something different. I'm enough of a spiritual man to know something has changed about time, the way that we're perceiving it. And I think at some point it's going to change the way we age. I think it's going to change a lot of things. And I even think some of the negative things that are happening on the surface and the earth are actually the darkest before the dawn. I think the chaos nearly has to happen for the truth to come out of that.
It's very interesting that you say that because you're actually right. You're actually not saying a lot of what you want to say, but that's okay. I'll say what you want to say. It's fine. A lot of what we are in the space of time is actually a form of darkness, which is actually okay. It's supposed to happen. The situation politically, sociologically, is actually supposed to happen. All life proceeds from darkness, and we don't talk about that a lot, especially in the traditional church, because we assume that darkness is i.e. evil, that Satan did it. And again, when I say Satan, I don't say it from a bad place. I actually believe in other energetic spirits that are resistant to you, call it Satan, Lucifer, whatever. But we're actually in that space right now. There are a lot of things in our timeline, spiritually speaking, that have shifted with us. It actually happened about 2-3 years ago in that regard. So a lot of people that have been I'll give you a good understanding. If you feel like you're starting to lose memory in certain parts of your understanding, like you're thinking of, you know, I don't know what I did when I was 10. I have no memory when I was 15 or 20 or 30. That's actually what happened. A lot of people went through this kind of metamorphosis standpoint. And so you're actually shedding a lot of your old skin, your old personality, into a new realm. I would go into the coming of Christ, but that's a whole nother.
Say that again?
It's actually a form of the great falling away that is discuss, and it actually talks about the in those days knowledge shall be increased, which is not necessarily the mental intellect side of things. It's actually the so you're actually in a good place. Many people are here in a good place in that regard. It's actually more scriptural than people realize. The second coming is not specifically a entity coming from the clouds as it is a Christ consciousness coming from the cloud of the imagination, the noose, the mind of it coming forth out of us. So that's actually what's happening is Christ is coming forth. And it's interesting space
The day star is arising in our hearts. Why do you stand here gazing in the clouds? Because that's not where he's coming back. The clouds that he's coming back is where every eye will see him.
Right.
All right, we're going to put a comma right there. This is some good stuff. Tell Calvin Whitcher how much we appreciate this. Stay right where you are. Thank you for being with us on In the Now with Jim Swilly. We'll see you next time. Okay. Woo, Lord, don't you go anywhere. Stay right there.
I'll try to tame it because I feel like it's...
Ooh, don't you tame. Uh-uh. No, we knew this a while back, that the second coming is not an event. It's an experience. Thing, Jackie here said this to me. This is back when we were still in Covington. She said, this was a missing piece for me. She said, you know, where Jesus said, no man knows the day and the hour. Mm-hmm. It's because it's not the same time for everybody.
Right.
Like people have a different epiphany at different times. So it's not this one event that happens. It's, you know, the light. And don't you find this more and more? It's like I'm finding I don't really get attacked by religious people anymore. If anything, I keep finding people who are like me. Then you think, oh, okay, well, you're like me, and it's just a random conversation you have with somebody, and the dots are being connected. It looks like a big constellation, or they're just being connected everywhere, and I don't feel alone. I feel, you know, even knowing you or when I hear from you, it's like it's empowering to know, wow, you know, there's so much confirmation going in. Don't say anything. Save it for the thing.
I'm not.
All right.
I'm doing so great today. So tame.
Welcome to this edition of In the Now with Jim Swilly. We are in the middle of a conversation with our friend Calvin Whitcher, and we're coming to you live from Metron. Metron, once again, would you please welcome Calvin? Tell him how much we appreciate that. And I'm going to start with this assumption today. Any of you that are watching these videos, I have to believe you are already enlightened enough that we don't have to explain a lot of things to you. I believe that you already sort of know where we're coming from on this. So pick up where we left off on the last one. And if this doesn't make sense to you, then go back and watch the previous one of these to give it some context.
Well, we were talking about the second coming of Christ or Christ consciousness. Some people would end up saying that this new age or eon that we're in is really about bringing out all of who you are, which is interesting because the reason that you're even not having most people are not having a lot of attacks anymore is because when they're going through their own level of transformation. So it's hard to villainize someone when you yourself are being pulled into a different space and time. So many of us don't really get a lot of criticism anymore. I don't know how many times through my inbox on Facebook I got one yesterday again from someone, I have no idea who these people are, wanted me to talk about, what did they talk about? The retrograde. We were talking about the retrograde and astrology, some things like that. And I'm like, I thought you were like a Christian. I mean, and they're following me the whole nine yards. Now, again, they're not going to their church.
I don't know what retrograde is. What you talking about, Willis?
Oh, yes, Venus is in retrograde. It's a very, very interesting space.
They know.
In time. So some people know. So pretty much what happens when we're in retrograde, it feels like things are going backwards. The planets feel like things are standing still. It's like going down the road, and you're going fast, and this other car slows down, and at this one moment, you kind of meet and intersect, and then you zoom forward. So a lot of times in retrogrades, communication issues happen, technology situations occur, you feel like you're going back in time. And so it's in Virgo right now, and which is one of its native houses, so there's a lot of intense energy. We just had Lionsgate portal opening, which is extremely intense energy. We're going into the solstice. That's another intense energy. So actually, we have a lot of things, planetarily speaking, that are shifting us in a lot of different ways that you kind of don't have a choice but to change and
well, it would have to if you like if there's enough gravitational pull from the moon to make the tides, then of course celestial movement has got to affect us. Even I don't think this is just psychological. Like I watched the eclipse last week, and I wasn't even in the path of totality, but the next morning I felt unusually energized. I had a power boost, and some people would say, well, you're just imagining that, and I think, no, something, I feel like watching that, something shifted with me. Mm. I felt very connected to what was happening 93 million miles away. And so that's very interesting. See, when you said retrograde, I didn't have an immediate recognition of that. So I'm glad you explained that. That's good. I always want to make sure everybody knows what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny because even things like that were are so in the scriptures. Even, who was it? I think it was Elijah that said the sun stands still. We can talk about that with astrology as well. Solstice, sun, and still means sun stand still. There's so many references I can go into regarding.
Well, even the fact that we celebrate Easter
Astor.
Right.
Who was
which was really an ancient.
Of fertility.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why we have, we're finishing each other's sentences. That's why we have Easter eggs and bunny rabbits, which are prolific, because long before it was Christianized, it was pagan, which isn't necessarily a negative word. Pagan, it was a pagan ritual where they celebrated the earth coming to life again, which is exactly. You know, Jesus is not mad at that. His resurrection happened at exactly the time of fertility, and the earth did come forth. It's like when Jeremiah says, "Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." Mm-hmm. Jesus was Paul called it the first fruits of that. Yeah. So what's happening is all of these, there are people who think we're divided in all of these different camps, like there's the Christians over here and the this over here. And what's happening is we're all coming to a focal point where you realize, oh, knowledge is knowledge. And that you understand when Jesus said those that are not against us are for us is a much deeper concept. I find that now I can meet somebody who, I don't really hear people use the word atheist that much. This kind of got a weird energy on it, but I hear people who, you can tell that they're not really believers in the sense that we've known believers. But I'll say something about Jesus or whatever, and they totally get it. They'll respond to me like, oh, you mean like so-and-so? Like they, and sometimes I find they have better get it factor
than
people who are having to, you know, navigate through, is it okay to believe this? Is it okay to see this? I don't have time to go into it now, and these people have all heard it, but I've had little touchstones over the last, I don't know, two decades of encounters I would have with people that at the time I would think, is this okay for me to even be having this with this person? Because I was taught you should be rebuking them, but instead I was connecting with them on such a deep level. Right. And now I'm to a place where I look back and I go, oh, that was a first fruits of things to come.
Absolutely.
And I find that, like, I can go hear a neurologist talk, like Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he's not necessarily coming from a spiritual aspect, but everything he says is confirming things that I taught about being in the now 30 years ago, and it's a missing piece for me. I'm like, wow, the spirit, the soul, the body, it's all linking up. Knowledge is everywhere. And what this is the optimist in me, and I sense it in you as well. Things are getting better. I know they don't sometimes look like they are, but they really are. That new Jerusalem is coming down prepared as a bride out of heaven every day. It's not a future event.
Oh, absolutely.
The day star is arising in our heart every day. We are being born again every day. We are being filled with the Spirit every day. And whatever your terminology, if you call that paradigm shift, epiphany, whatever, it is happening. And just like retrograde, that's a good word. That's a good missing piece for me. I like that. Go ahead.
No, I was actually just thinking, actually the point of ascension is actually to get to a place of agnosticism or atheism, actually to get to a place of unknowing.
I like the word agnostic. Agnostic just means I don't know everything.
I don't know everything.
We need more agnostics who will come down off their religious high horse.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about you, but I used to know everything. When I was 14, I mean, I knew everything. It was beautiful. You should have seen it. I don't know where I lost that information. I am considerably more agnostic now than I was at the time. And yet I love Jesus, and I love spirit, and I love life now more than ever. Go ahead.
So I was saying, I actually love being around atheists and agnostic more than religious
Many
or church
times
people.
I do too.
Mostly because, especially for what I do, immediately when someone says prophet, I have several filters I have to flow and work through. And so I understand that immediately going in. I have judgment, I have condemnation, I have the dispensationalists that say that doesn't exist, yada yada, I'm a heretic, whatever. And then I have the other people that says, okay, I'm waiting to see, prove it. What does that, you know, what does that mean? And it's fine, I welcome all of those things. And so with atheists or agnostic, there's no filter. There's like, okay, sure, you call it whatever. What does that mean? I actually can flow a lot better when I don't have to sit here and go through the filter. It's like going through congestion. Or I guess you guys live in Atlanta here, so you know what about traffic. So that's how it is energetically. It's like, okay, if I have to sift through all of this might take me 30 minutes to actually get to where I can work.
There had to have been a reason why Jesus chose the disciples that he chose.
Absolutely.
Because he didn't choose one theologian. He didn't choose one person out of the temple. He chose people that knew about fishing, that knew about tax collecting.
Chose teenagers.
Yeah, he just chose people that he didn't have to deprogram.
Absolutely.
And he gave them power to do whatever because they were pure and they just received it.
Absolutely. And so that it's funny you say deprogramming because I tend to work a lot. I think the prophetic, God speaking anyway, works a lot better when we don't have to get to a place of deprogramming your filter. And is it possible? Sure, it's okay. I think that's why we have pastors and teachers, things like that. Sometimes on a prophetic level, I just tend to go straight to the point. So I've learned to be a little more disciplined over the years. I used to be a lot more renegade in prophecy. I've learned over the years with maturity just to, you know, not because every time you know something doesn't mean you speak it. And sometimes I'm also at a different level now. I'm like, listen, when I step into a place, it's more of an activating energy. I'm coming here to just bear witness to the whole experience, even myself. And speaking is sometimes just irrelevant. It's like, I don't need to prophesy. It's the experience is the prophecy. The experience is the coming forth. And there's no need for me to sit here and say, thus saith Spirit. I can do that. That's without question. I could do it for 10 minutes. I could do it for, 3 hours as well. It's just not a show. I think some people confuse it in that sense. I can do a show. I can do tarot if you want to, and that's fine. You know, charge you $97 to do that. But, yeah, I think that's what it is sometimes. People want more the reality of spirit, and people hunger for it. People want it. And
I'll tell you one thing is for sure. Real recognizes real.
Yeah.
And for people that are pretentious about their beliefs and even insecure about them.
Right.
Because here's my thing is like if what you believe is the truth, you shouldn't be insecure about people that challenge your comfort zone.
Right.
Because if it's the truth, then it's the truth. The truth will stand on its own. You don't have to come out swinging. You can even say, I don't necessarily agree with you on this point or that point, but we're good. So let's focus on that. How many Christian denominations have we said? Over 40,000, I believe.
Yeah, it's
which just the very fact that there are thousands of Christian denominations that were basically birthed out of one group saying another group is wrong
right. Shows
you there's something intrinsically wrong with what devolved into what we know as Christianity.
Right. And even calling yourself out on your own BS, I call it BS. I know we're recording, so I'm going to be really calm today.
This you could say pretty much anything.
Yeah, I've been known to say a couple of choice words. So, but even with myself, if you watch any of my broadcasts, there are plenty of times I'll say, listen, I'm going to give you the congruence of my own teaching, and then I'm going to contradict my own self what I said 5 minutes ago, and I understand that I'm doing it. I can call BS on my own stuff because I'm not held to it. It's fine. And when you don't have an expectation with you, like, okay, it is what it is. Was wrong, was off, didn't make sense now. It will make sense in 5 minutes. Give it time. And so it's fine. When you get to a place that you don't have to prove it, it's like, we're good. Yeah. It's fine. I view it like this with God and spirit. I think God's a big boy, a big girl, a big it that she doesn't need me to defend it. I don't need to sit here and battle with it. I don't have to actually know it, and it's okay. I'm just available. I'm here. What little I know, I will say it. Don't have me change the oil in your car. Not my specialty. This area, I know this, and I'm okay with that. This is the one thing that I do, and I do it well. I don't play basketball either. I know, you might assume that, but you don't want
me on
your team. It's
going
to be a horrible experience. So, yeah, get into a place that there's nothing to prove other than, if you want to prove anything to yourself, compete with yourself and win. But everybody else is like, it's okay.
And that's what I find more and more. The more enlightened people become, the less defensive they become. Namaste stops being a word and it really becomes a lifestyle. Like, whatever is holy in you, I respect it. It was pounded into me in Bible college, never refer to Holy Spirit or God as it. And that's because patriarchal, the Bible was written by men to men in a patriarchal world. Women, it wasn't even considered that women could have deity or contain deity. So when you understand, I'm never going to fully abandon referring to God as he, and yet I don't have any issue with referring to God as she or even as it, because it is it's a bigger concept even than gender. And when you're, I think I think a lot of the reasons that gender issues have been so challenged in recent years is because people are having to even learn how to think outside the box mm-hmm. concerning what is male and female. What are male and female roles? Because a lot of the archaic ideas we have really came from patriarchal limited belief systems right. that came from men trying to control their environment. I mean, there's no getting around that. Mm-hmm. And when you understand that, the stronger, like I find men who are very strong in their masculinity are not intimidated by strong female energy because right. The real in them recognizes the real in somewhere else. As a matter of fact, I don't think you fully know God until you recognize energy in other, in people who are in different incarnations than you.
Absolutely. And so even with me, like male, female, it really matters not. My grandmother, she had 11 children. And so, and I don't know how many grandchildren. So when we were all together, she would just start cycling through names. You know, Randy, Brian, Michael, blah, 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 blah. And then she'd say, you know who I'm talking about. That's just how I view God. Like he, she, Jehovah, Elohim, Krishna, Buddha, who cares? It knows what I'm talking about. It knows it by name. I'm calling God. Whatever.
Why else would, when Moses said, I need a handle to take to the Egyptians, the voice says to him, you just tell him I am seen.
Right.
And so thank God that we, through our understanding, words, phrases like Jehovah Jireh, those kind of things, helped us understand, we saw one facet of the diamond.
Right.
But God was the entire diamond mine.
Right.
And we were, you know, our theology was, look how pretty this little stone is. And there were, you know, an eternal source of diamonds. That's all.
Yep.
That's good right there.
That's good.
That'll
that's
preach,
good.
Right?
That's good.
All right. Let's take a break right there. Good stuff. Everybody, tell Calvin how much we appreciate him being here today. I love it. Thank you for being with us this edition of In the Now with Jim Swilley.
You're going to get me worked up here.
Come on now. I'm trying to decide.
Where's my Hammond B?
Trying to decide, should I do one more show or just let you... Are you comfortable with just staying in this
format? I'm totally great with this format.
Then let's just stay
with this.
I feel like we've got a good synergy here. There's a lot of agreement here. And
I'm type A personality. I will tell you when I, you know, switch.
Good.
Good.
I love your personality. I love your energy. It's all good. It's all good.
You got to pick up that conversation. That was good.
Good. What?
The last conversation. That's good.
I'm telling you.
That's good. Okay. That's good.
No, it's good. You did good. You did good.
What's he got to do? What's he got to say?
All right. Welcome to this edition of In the Now with Jim Swilley. We are in the middle of a conversation with Calvin Witcher. Would you please welcome Calvin Witcher once again, Metron? We're coming to you live from Metron, and we're right in the middle of a powerful conversation. You might want to go back and look at the previous two installments of this to give you some context. I would say we're talking about whatever, but we're kind of talking about everything. Right now, we're kind of talking about God as the I am. Explain a little bit more. Tell me what you tell us again what you were just saying about your grandmother calling all the grandkids.
Well, I was saying my grandmother had 11 children. I guess I should say has 11 children. They're just in different forms and configurations now. Some that are in this physical form and some that are non-physical form, right? But 11 children. And I hope you're still with me. 11 children. And so at some point when we were all together for Christmas or holidays, she would just forget people's names. I have four kids myself, and sometimes I forget my four kids' names. So she would just start naming everyone, Michael, Randy, Brian, and she would just eventually say, you know who I'm talking about. Get over here. And so I find that God's, you know, when I communicate to God, I kind of have that same perspective that whatever the name is, it's quite irrelevant in some cases when you talk about the essence of something. Now, mystically speaking, the name does matter because names are locators. If I say Johnny, Johnny speaks.
Exactly. And
so that's another conversation. I don't, because I know
and
I have some.
And that's the point of if I need God to be the provider, then yes, Jehovah Jireh takes on a certain meaning for me.
Absolutely.
So it's like, like all of you can call me something, but there's only four people in this world who call me dad. And when they make that demand on me, I have a I love you, but I have a different relationship with them. And a lot of it is, you know, if one of them calls me and says dad, and they go right into I need whatever, they're going to get a response because of the demand they made on me.
Now, it's interesting, and the reason I wanted to bring that up, excuse me, is because, mystically speaking, names are locators. It defines the deity that you're working with. I believe, again, this might be out there for a lot of other people, but when he said I am, I believe that that particular God was giving him pretty much a blank check that says, whoever you need to call on at that particular time, I am giving you the ability to call that, which is why I believe that the plagues came up in the fashion they did, because if you understand, the Egyptians were pagan anyway. They were polytheistic. So each particular incident was actually controlled by a particular god, just like the fertility gods were one god and the rain god, the sun god were different gods. So even being able to say, listen, just say I am was to say, listen, you might be saying I am, and this particular god is calling you. So in the case of you need it, the plagues to occur, because it was really a multifaceted perspective to Pharaoh that says, listen, you don't just have one god after you, you have many gods after you, which he would have understood that from a polytheistic standpoint. So I am actually had a greater revelation than actually saying one god.
Which is very similar to Acts 17 when Paul goes to Mars Hill.
Absolutely.
And he's, you know, there Mars Hill is where all these temples are. There's the temple of the sun god and the moon god and the fertility god. And he and just to make sure they covered all their bases, they had the temple of the unknown god.
The unknown god.
And so Paul goes and preaches a sermon that now if fundamentalists heard that sermon, they would probably denounce as heresy. Because he never even used the name Jesus. He did talk about a man that was resurrected. But he said he is not far from any of us, plural, although we all grope for him, as many of your own poets have said. So he said, even in your own Greek mythology, you already know this. You might call him or her another name, but if it's the god Zeus or whatever, it shows us a part of who the real god is. Mm-hmm. And that Zeus is a part of, it's a facet, like a facet of the diamond. Absolutely.
And it's really interesting because you mentioned earlier about, you know, spirit and things like that. I still say Holy Spirit. Still, to this day, I would talk about a lot of other deities and things like that. But that's just, I say that's my cosmology. That's my first language. And so I honor that. It's like English. I used to speak German fluently. I don't anymore. And so it's like speaking English. I know Holy Spirit. It makes sense to me. When I view it now, it's a little bit different. I view it more the personification of energy and spirit right now. It talks, it moves, it breathes with me. I understand it actually a lot more. I actually like Jesus and the scriptures and Christ and the Bible a heck of a lot more than I did even then. Makes more sense now.
The movement of the Holy Spirit in the previous century was necessary. I don't think we we would be where we are today if that hadn't happened, because a lot of icons had to be torn down. And some of the, I don't see this as a negative in my past at all. I look back at praying for people to be baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. And those are some of the most beautiful experiences I've ever, and were very real. I know situations that have happened with people that was totally real. That doesn't mean that was the best. It was real, but it was not necessarily the best. There were things I experienced growing up. You might have had a crush on somebody in high school that was very real to you. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the best. It wasn't who you were going to end up with long term. But you can look back and you think, the emotion I felt for that person was very real and whatever. So I never trivialize anybody's experience. And those experiences with the Holy Spirit, the capital H, capital S, Holy Spirit. Those were real and will always. I will always have affection for those. And would not be where I am today if I had not embraced that truth at that time.
Absolutely. I view it as a product of spirit. And so I think that's necessary. You know, even the scripture said that signs are for the unbelieving. So I think those experiences were for us to actually believe. It's a product, you know, a product that many people are very good at selling, even to this day. I don't think that's wrong. But when you have the person of spirit, the presence of spirit, the product is quite irrelevant. Because it's like being married to someone, I don't need you to give me something every single day. I live with you. I am part of you. The two become one. And so you kind of get over the theatrics after a while. It's like just quite unnecessary. It actually feels like prostitution after a while. You're like, oh, just, you know, prophesy for us.
Right.
It's like, why? What are you going to do with it? Like, Spirit is already giving you 10 instructions that you have not followed, and now I'm supposed to come and, you know, spiritually bypass that level of understanding, so it makes you feel better. And I don't care to do that. I have better things to do with my time. I'd rather go to the, you know, the grocery store and get Oreo cookies and watch Game of Thrones and go to the restaurant and have red wine than do that. It just doesn't make sense. Because I think a lot of times what people are saying is, prove to me why I should believe you. Prove to me why I should follow your way of thinking. And I always say, like, you probably shouldn't follow me or believe anything I say. It's so funny you mentioned atheists. I had a gathering in California, and one of my guys, total scientific, ranger, military guy, totally agnostic, borderline atheist, and he came every Sunday. Religiously, every gathering I went to, he was there, my bodyguard, the whole nine yards. He stood up and, because he's crazy, stood up in service one time and said, I don't believe half the that he says. He says, but I get something every time that I'm here. I learn something, I translate it into something that makes sense for me. And I'm like, I like that, that's great.
Yeah.
No one's asking you to believe me, it's fine. You should believe the voice inside of you, the calling inside of you, and hopefully something I say resonates with you, and what doesn't resonate with you, you should throw it down, and that's okay.
More than one person who would fit that profile who have said that to me, that I've even asked, you know, why do you come to Metron if you don't even believe in God? I don't know. There's something about the way you talk about it. I remember even, this is back when I had the church, a man came to me who was Jewish. His wife was a member of the church, and he came for counseling, and he said, I want to give you this disclaimer. He said, I'm never going to believe in Jesus like you want me to believe in him. I'm never going to get saved. I'm never going to, none of these things that you talk about, I'm never going to do that. And I said, well, then that's fine. I said, but why do you come to church? Because I do talk a lot out of the Gospels. He said, I don't know. There's something about the way you talk about Jesus that I like to hear you talk about it. And he said, for a long time, I've called you my rabbi. He said, but I don't really think you're a rabbi. I think you're the leader of the new people. And when he said that, I was like,
I like that.
Thank you, Jewish prophet, who didn't know that you just prophesied my next chapter to me. I appreciate it. But I actually liked his candor in saying, I'm never going to officially adopt what he perceived that I believe. Whereas I've always been, I just have the courage now to really say it, but I've always been inclusive.
Right.
And it's, and don't you find, you keep hearing that word more and more, we need a more inclusive world, we need a more inclusive whatever, and you think, right, we're the first fruits of that.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing, this whole concept of inclusion. And I agree with you on the teaching side of things. I tell everyone, like, listen, you probably don't want to follow my teaching. You need to follow me specifically because I am subject to transition any moment. And it just has happened to me. And if you're hung up on, I said this, you're going to be sadly mistaken and hurt. But absolutely, inclusion is a really interesting, it's so funny. I have to, like, sidetrack for a moment at the risk of, I know we're recording. I actually don't view you as inclusive in a sense, as I view you as a renovator of the mind, which is an interesting space where it's, I don't view it as, sometimes, okay, let me say it this way, it'll make more sense. A lot of times when people say inclusion, what they're secretly saying is to come and be like us and this new interesting clique. And so from that perspective, I don't see that. If anything, like the scripture comes to mind, what is it? Be not conformed, what is it, Romans 12:2? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Actually, the renewing of the mind, the news actually, renewing means renovation. Actually, I view you a lot as a renovator. If anything else, like this whole gathering is more of a getting people in a place of healing in order to help them to rethink how you have been thinking. So it's an interesting space. So yes, inclusion, but in the form of welcoming.
I don't even really use that word that much. I brought it up today, maybe as a catalyst for you to say that out loud.
Well, that's how it happens. You know, I tell people, like, listen, you prime my pump, and we're really good to go on that level. So here's the interesting thing. I think we are all wanted to be included. I don't think anyone wants to be left out. I view prophecy the exact same way. Most people only believe in prophecy because they want to feel like somebody is still out there speaking to me, yeah, that wants me, that hears me. So, and so for that, it's a privilege to be the witness of the inclusion, but it's not a denomination or a philosophy or a what you think or who you sleep with, who cares in that regard. And I think that's where we get hung up. So I tend to work and even teach a lot of times with transitions that where you are today is not where you're going to be tomorrow or probably when you walk out of here. And that's okay. And if you can, you know, loosen your own chains, you can allow for consciousness to come in a different way.
It makes it challenging when you write books because
it does.
Even with my the last book I wrote, if I were writing it now, I would write it different already. Completely. It's like I look at it and I think, well, that's even kind of not the way I think anymore. And like my biggest selling book is a devotional book that I did in the year 2000, I believe. And we sold a couple of them this week. I mean, I don't know who keeps buying them, but somebody on Amazon, Avery will tell me, a couple people bought books. Once in a while, I get a royalty check. Mm-hmm. But I will post something out off of the Kindle, but I have to go through it and think, I got to find something on there that actually sounds like I still talk. Because yeah, the 2000 version of me is so different from the 2017 version of me.
Yeah.
And I want to still sell the books. I've got a lot of inventory to move.
Yes, please make
so
money.
So I'm like, and I know there are some people that's kind of, I don't mean this sound condescending, but that's kind of where they still are.
Yeah.
So all right, then fine. That's where you are right now. I'm kind of at a different place, and it's all good. Like you can, if that's where you want to, like I was in a hospital not too long ago ministering to somebody, and the nurse was standing there, said, a male nurse, he said, are you the guy that used to have the church out on I-20? I said, yeah. And he said, I came to your church years ago and got saved. Well, that's not even terminology I would use now, but I could tell that was very meaningful to him.
Right.
So there's no reason for me to take that away from him. I said, well, you know what? I'm so glad to meet you. Because he had tears in his eyes, and he's like, you know, I'm so glad I ran into you, because you know, if I hadn't met you, I might be going to hell. And I want to go, yeah. Oh, the times, they have a change. But that's what he believes. So it brought him some comfort for me. And there's no point in me, you know, I got somebody here, you know, with oxygen. It's not time to have an argument. So I'm like, well, all right, then fine. I'm glad we ran into each other. You know, God bless you.
I think that's a good practice, though. I have like 5 books myself, and I've said the exact same thing. I'm like, ooh, man, wow. I did this the other day on a broadcast. I said, in my book, I said this. Here's where I am now. But for those of you that need it.
Don't you think that's the problem with the Bible, though? Is that
absolutely.
People wrote down the knowledge they had at that time. And I think the Bible writers would be horrified to see the way fundamentalists have taken things that they said 6,000 years ago and locked them in. Yep. Within that are eternal truths that are
absolutely.
That transcend time. But you have to know how to deconstruct it
so
you can find where the eternal is. When Moses said, this voice said, I am, that resonates with me. When he says, God told me you shouldn't shave the sides of your face, I'm like, Moses, I don't know if God told you that.
Maybe
I think
me.
That was your culture that told you that. So it's called, here's a concept, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Absolutely.
Ever heard of it?
Right.
Well, a lot of people haven't. So, when I see how I've evolved away from what I've written, you know, when Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses didn't have tablets of stone with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was Moses in the now.
Mm-hmm.
He was Moses who said, yeah, that part I said about keeping the young women for yourself, that was kind of me. that God didn't really say you should just kill the old ugly women and keep the hot ones for yourself. And we're like, yeah, Mo, we knew that.
Yeah.
But we still loved when you said in your Genesis account, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. That you did hear from something eternal about that.
Right.
And so that's why we still love you. But we also know how to see you.
You're getting me like super excited. This is going to be like a bad thing. So
it's what I
know.
Do.
I still like it because I like the concept of, hey, I wrote this 5 years ago. I'm in a different space now. I don't know who the mystic is, and I won't begin to try to quote who said this. But years ago, one of the things that changed my mindset regarding the scriptures was I heard this theologian or this mystic say, in order to understand any ancient text, specifically the scriptures, you need to put yourself in the mind frame of that particular writer. And he phrased it in this way. He said, well, I'm going to add this and I'll say what he said. A lot of us say, you know, we're emanations of God, we are divine creations, et cetera, et cetera. We are God. Many people would also say that. We're collective consciousness, right? We are one and the same. So if you're believing that, and if you wholeheartedly profess it, it's an interesting space to take the scriptures, because then you have to ask yourself, and this is what he said. He says, you have to ask yourself, what was I thinking when I wrote that?
Absolutely.
And it's that one little concept alone changed a lot of how I view the scriptures, because now when I'm looking at, you know, Elijah, or I almost said Muhammad, Elijah, we're talking about scriptures today, Elijah, John, Jonah, whoever, then I start putting myself back in the mindset of like, okay, what was I thinking when I said, let there be light? Okay, what did I see around me? Why did I feel that way? Why did I create light first? When did I create darkness? How did that process happen? You know,
since you mentioned the word darkness, I want to say the fact that we perceived darkness as negative came from the paradigm of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at darkness through the tree of life, you understand, well, to everything there's a season. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. That totally makes sense. That's Ecclesiastes 3 is Taoism. That's the black and the white. It's like there's a yin and a yang for everything.
Right.
But you can't see that through the paradigm of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because then you
Absolutely.
See darkness as something negative. And
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily negative. Sometimes you... that's why I... As much as I like the concept of being positive.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the completion of it. I think there's a time when you have to be negative, and it's okay to let yourself feel that. I'm not talking about running around snaring yourself with the words of your mouth.
Right.
I'm saying there are times I know in my own walk I feel a heaviness or whatever, and I don't try to resist it. I'm like, well, okay, I'm going through a thing that I need to feel. And I will not be able to understand the light if I don't feel this darkness. If there's any way, let this pass from me. But if not, I'll go ahead and drink it, and it's okay, because I don't see I don't judge everything through the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's just life.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. I think most people use affirmations and positivity as a spiritual bypass to actually dealing with reality of things that really are present. So we don't say. We're afraid to say, oh, I hate, and I don't like this, and
right.
This is painful, I'm hurting, I'm diseased. Especially if you're a Pentecostal, we never would say terms like that, because we're giving the devil credit and power and all this other stuff. But I think there's a part when you get to a divine level of elevation that you must acknowledge those things, and that if God is the creator, spirit is the creator of all things, and we're part of that creation, then somehow darkness has a place, sickness has a place. In those regards, it's so funny, because even on a prophetic level, it's been a challenge for me over the years, even when I get a witness of kind of diseases and illnesses and things like that, because the empathetic, natural part of me, not religious, wants to say, oh my God, I want to heal you, and blah, blah, blah,
right.
I want you to be healed. And then the other part of me says, but for what reason is this person sick?
Right.
And sometimes it's necessary that you sit back and you wait, and that you allow it to be the case.
Right.
I have scoliosis. I had two surgeries, one surgery, they put the rods in my back, the other one, they removed it. And so it's very interesting. I, you know, hated that for a long period of time. Now I understand the purpose of it. It's so I can be a little more empathetic and sympathetic for people that are going through pains and hurts and trials, which I would not have had I not gone through it.
All things work
All
together.
All things work together.
All things, not just the...
Every bit of it.
The positive things. All things work
All
together.
Things.
This is some good stuff. Calvin Witcher, tell them what you appreciate him. Fantastic. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Thank you for being with us on In the Now with Jim Swilley. We'll see you next time. We just got a few minutes left. Just share whatever's on your heart. Give me about 5-10 minutes, whatever you want to do.
Five, ten minutes,
we'll wrap it up.
Very interesting. I just want to thank everyone for being here with me. I feel like I recognize. Were you here last time? You, with the handkerchief. Yes, you were not here. Okay, so because it was you with the blue glasses, you with the long hair, glasses, black rim. I think that's black. Don't quote me on that side of things. You stood out to me, and there was one other person that I think it was this gentleman here. I'm getting some feedback, whatever that is. That's probably me, honestly. Retrograde, thanks. So. Before I say anything, I'll say this. Thank you all for having me here. I appreciate it so very much. Thank you, Doctor, for also being here as well. Regarding the prophetic is always an interesting space and time. It's not always a God is specifically speaking kind of energy. A lot of times it's very much in the space of prophecy. Or I view the prophet as I'm the mediator between moments. So sometimes it's very past and sometimes it's very future. And then I'm kind of gauging what it is in that whole nine yards. I think I also want to pray for your wrist as well there. But for you, what did I say? You, and definitely you. There's a lot of healing that's taking place in here, so I appreciate that. I will acknowledge that on a lot of different levels. You have a lot of wealth here, too. It's a really interesting space and time. I'm sure you know because you're the pastor side of things, and that's really good. It's also a very interesting space with you because I don't know if you have plans on transitioning out of here, but I'll say a yes on that. It's very, because you don't need to. It's always a very interesting space to be in. You really don't need to. It's actually a beautiful space. It's fun. I've never been in a theater other than, you know, watching the movies. But you do need another space, but it's not an issue of capacity, clearly, all right? It's really an issue of that metamorphosis is actually kind of the phoenix moment. Out of the ashes comes a new life experience. So if you're not looking at spaces right now, you should definitely look at that. And if you are looking at that, you should just totally go ahead and do that. And obviously support everyone in the process. Someone, I'm trying to figure out who it is having a serious migraine or something, and it's like right here. It's like left side of it, and I was feeling it earlier. Actually, I'm feeling it now. Who is that?
Over here.
Okay, that's you. Thanks. Can you hold that thought for a moment? Thanks. So a lot of times when I work prophetically, it's more of an empathic energy, so I get that, and that was you earlier. It's very interesting. He mentioned stress. I don't know your name, so sorry. Again, I don't know what you do, but you have a lot of healing energy with you as well, but I'm going to piggyback off of the stress side of things with you, right? Specifically career, specifically children, one in particular. Some of that even with you, the way it's resonating with me right now, it's kind of going all the way back. It's interesting. It's like right here, and it's kind of pulling all the way back. Sorry, I'm not used to having mics with me. It's pulling all the way back. So I'm going to deal with why that is in a moment as well. You, my dear, with the zigzag black and white, yes, with you as well. Are you a regular here? You are? How long have you been coming here?
A long time.
A long time? Okay.
She was with me when I was at the church.
Okay, that's what it is then. I want to say this, though. I haven't given words like this in a grip, prophetically. You've got a lot of faithful energy in you, which is also really good. And I, Spirit is saying that Spirit appreciates that. He appreciates that with you. And even off of the situation with new career changes with you, that those things are going to be lifting very, very soon with you, and that you're actually going to be in it. I am seeing with you some good changes over the next 3 to 4 months in line of your process because, but a lot of that's to honor the process that's been working here as far as faithfulness goes. It is a matter of shifting the tide with you. What is 3 or 4 months from now? It is October, September, October, November, December. December, January's time. Be looking for those changes with you, specifically in the realm of finances. Finances comes up a lot with you in that regard. I don't know if you're working right now. I kind of feel like the financial thing is a little hollow, for lack of a better word, right now. But that'll be shifting with you. I am getting business with you with the glasses, with the long hair and the glasses, blonde hair. I'm getting a lot of business energy and entrepreneurial energy with you. I'm not sure what you're doing right now, how that process is happening. If you're not in business right now, you totally should be. If you are in business, I'm going to also say that your business is going to go through a different change and shift with you that you've been processing anyway, and it's fine. But it's also in a really good direction. What do you do? You. Okay. That's going to be shifting with you. It's really interesting because I know you want to, that healing is taking place, but that's actually, you're going to be very active. I see you extremely active. It's really interesting. So I don't know if you want to be retired, but that's going to be kind of shifting with you, and it's fine. You, the arm, what happened? Did you hit her?
What are you, a carpal tunnel or something?
No, I fell, and it's a tendon.
Okay.
I fell and was thrown hard onto this.
Ouch.
Okay. The prophetic is very interesting. It's not always a it shifts and changes everywhere that I go. With this space, it feels more of an activating energy, like you need that to move forward. I feel a lot of like just stable, stagnant energy here, which is not bad. It's actually borderline, you know, very grounded energy. But it's very much of activating energy right now. So if I am calling you specifically, it means that you're being activated in a different space and time. Mostly also, if I'm calling anybody right now, you've probably been in limbo for quite a while. If I'm not calling you, it doesn't mean the spirit doesn't love you. It just means that it's, you know, things are where they are. So specifically with you two, and with you as well. Interesting enough, if you all have healings, that's probably a very strong shifting that's happening with you as well. With you two, I connected with you when we first came. I'm also seeing business with you, and that's really strong. I don't know why I want to say this, but your mom, is she still present in physical form here with us? Because there you are. Your mom? No, right here. Sorry. Your mom. Yes, I'm getting your mom coming up in conversation right now. Sorry, I know we just switched over into mediumship right now. I'm getting her come up a lot right now, but in a very solid way. But I feel like she's been communicating with you the last couple of months a little bit stronger than normal. And she's been asking you to be more of who she wants you to be and who you are. But she's coming to give you that confidence, and that's okay. She's actually going to be with you for quite a while. And there's a level of sadness that I kind of feel there, which is interesting. But she's there not for that. She's there for actually to encourage you in your next phase of life. So she's not actually gone. She's actually still present here, energy-wise. Depends on how you look at that. But she's actually very much speaking to you a lot, especially when it comes to other animals as well, birds specifically. She's very much around you in that regard. So,
can I now?
Please.
One of the last things that she said to me was because I'm constantly moving and I'm running around all of the time.
Yeah.
A lot of energy, a lot of creative energy, a lot of energy. And the last thing she said to me was slow down. And the one I was taking care of her before she passed.
Yeah.
Did you hear what Joanna said? She fell and hurt herself, and he was talking about her mom who transitioned a few years back. And he said, you want us to be talking to her. She said she was always telling me to slow down. And
right after it happened,
yep.
And the birds.
Very interesting.
We're surrounded. And we say this all the time. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when you say cardinals, I say,
oh. Yeah, that's her. It's good. But don't, not that you need to, you know, hear this, but don't be afraid of that. It's actually really good. It's her coming into play.
Well, We got time for one more.
With you in the white hair, right here with the white collar and the glasses, I'm also getting, hold on, I have to feel how it's working with me. It's something internal, but I'm trying to locate it right now on a health healing side with you. So I'm just going to say it's on this side, somewhere around this region here. I feel like it's under my rib cage a lot. Whatever the healing issue is with you, I'm going to say that that's going to be resolving as well. And no worries. I feel like that's also partly going into breathing. Not specifically isolated with the breathing, but it's also affecting that process. But on a healing level, that's being taken care of. So hold that. Stress side of you, I'm going to piggyback off of the slow down side of things regarding the stress level. Again, because it's still here with me. I'm actually going to say with you, some of this is going to also be a diet change that's going to be coming up with you that's going to allow for your body to take some of that stress off of you. Definitely some of yours is less responsibility, especially with regarding children. And this is going to be weird for me to say, I have four kids, so I know what I'm about to say is going to sound really heartless. You need to let that go. Okay, that's not your responsibility, that's theirs. And part of the whole experience of, you know, coming into the new place that you are is realizing that you can't do it all, and that's fine. And you're not being neglected in the process, and you're good. And they are too. Okay? Okay, I'll shut up.
Ooh, good stuff.
Do benediction, I guess.
We could stay here all day, but I'll just say you'll be back. What are you pointing to? Okay. Tell Calvin how much we appreciate him being here.
Love you.
Excellent. Thanks. Just remain standing, please. And I'm gonna run the thing. Let me just say this to you. He didn't ask for this. Calvin came completely at his own expense, and he didn't ask for anything. He said, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." So I'm gonna bless him. But also, if you have cash today, I want you just to give it to him directly. And also, you have a product table out there. So why don't you go out to your table, and you can meet him there. And let me encourage you to please get all of his stuff. Just remain standing if you'll hit that, please. This was good today, wasn't it?
Contributing to Metro is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give any time by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form, and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit visionthenow.com and click the Support tab. Then, My Online Donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you have a check, just make it to JESM, and Danny will be back there to receive it. If you have cash, some of you may have blessed Zach last week. If you want to do that, you can do that again. Also, definitely with Calvin. And this is really good, wasn't it? Wow. So, Doc, always glad to have you, of course. Our new friends who are here today, glad you guys are here. You seem like one of us. You were like into all the stuff and shaking your head at all the right things and laughing at the right jokes and everything, so it's good. Are you friends of Leslie? Is that who you... Okay, good. And I knew you looked familiar. So you were the ones. let me also say this about when prophecy is in the air, even if you didn't get a direct word, the energy is still there. So listen to your heart. Listen to confirmation today because a lot of good things are going to be said today. So please greet Calvin on your way out and get some of his materials. I know you're going to enjoy it. And we've gone a little over time, so if you want to help out with the teardown, I'm sure Ken would appreciate that. God bless you. Go in peace. The angel of the Lord encamps around about you to keep you in all your ways.